Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Clive Anderson's Seven Wonders. Please welcome to the stage, Clive Anderson.
Thank you very much for coming on. It's great to be in a great room full of people. I haven't done this for, you know, 2 or 3 years. I haven't been in for so many people because I wasn't invited to any of those Downing Street work events. Who's my guest? That's what you want to know. Maybe you know already, but I'm going to tell you in any event. So we've got an excellent comedian. He's originally from Alberta, Canada, but he lives in London, England, and is a frequent performer here in Edinburgh, Scotland. He's sometimes described as an observational and surreal comedian. Now, I'll have to first of all investigate how that can be. It can't be hard to be both observational and surreal, because one's seeing things and one's imagining things. But anyway, he's extremely popular in the comedy community, and I'm sure he's going to be great tonight. Please welcome Tony Law.
All right. Well done, Tony.
Thank you.
Yes. Dude.
Nobody else.
Yeah.
I've never observed anything in my life.
Yeah. I'm going to put that like that. So, I don't know.
Mine's not on.
Oh, well.
Is mine on?
Yeah. It's on. It doesn't pick up anything in a Canadian accent. It's doesn't sound like anything's on anymore.
Oh, jeez, am I on, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, holy smokes. Holy smokes, you guys can hear me through that fucking thing, eh?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just doing a bit of freewheeling there.
Surreal and observational.
No, observational part, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Now, I've never heard anyone say he's observed anything or noticed a thing in his life.
Now, everybody tries in Edinburgh to get a bit of publicity. And I noticed you're in The Guardian for camping rather than...
No, it's not camping.
Not camping.
I wish it was camping. No, I'm staying in a caravan because I can't afford to stay here for a month.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't awe me. No, it's in a caravan. And actually, so I'm lucky, my friend Chai Wright, shout out, who does windmills.
That's here for windmills.
And he said, Tony... Got an idea for you. You're finding it hard to get accommodation. We go around fixing windmills, and my boys and I need a trailer or a caravan. And so if we bought one, would you be able to use it for Edinburgh? And I went, you're dang right.
Excellent.
But...
Where are you doing your show? That's what I was...
Oh, no, before that, though, caravan...
Sorry. Yeah, God.
The caravan is my life.
Yes.
People are like, have you seen a show yet? You know I haven't, because there's no hot water in the caravan yet.
All right.
My son and I have had to hose each other down to get clean. That's not a line I ever want to say again out loud.
It's a lovely image.
Jesus Christ. No, but we've literally...
How old is your son?
We have to hose each other down, shampoo up. He's 13.
13.
Yeah.
It's borderline happy,
Bit tricky with the hose as well.
Oh,
he's got some ideas about where he wants to fire that. But no, it's tough. We didn't have gas for a couple of days. Haven't been able to cook.
We're gonna have to move on.
So we've eaten a lot of crisps.
It's absolutely almost impossible to get seven.
You brought the caravan stuff up.
I had a link. I was going to say because it's a trailer and that's a trailer.
No, but you implied that I was trying to do it for publicity, and that got my back up because I'm like, it is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And we've started grappling like we're in a farmyard on a caravan. We don't know what to do with ourselves. So we're learning UFC fighting.
Okay. Now.
Jeez Louise.
Your Honor. So I've got your list of wonders here. I don't know if you can
remember. I remember none of them because it only came yesterday.
I know, but they're a very good selection of wonders, I may say. So right. I've done about 30 of these and hardly any overlaps, and certainly none with these ones. So your first wonder, I guess you've forgotten, is Mary Beard.
You damn right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I freaking love her. She's a hero of mine.
Yes.
Inspiring, strong, smart. Just her style, the way she does it. Like I'm a scumbag, so I only discovered her from like her BBC documentaries.
Yeah.
And then I started to read after that. So so hats off to Mary. And I just loved she. There's so much that I'll stumble over my words. She's like a rock.
Yes, but you're not just a mere fan, are you? Because you came to her defense. You've met her. You've done things with her.
Oh yeah, there was.
So what? How did that? Tell us about that.
Oh well, there's some online thing back when I was figuring out Twitter and before I abandoned it because I'm terrified of it.
Yeah.
But back in those days, there were some people attacking her for who knows what, and I started adopting different characters online to defend her and attack other people.
Yeah.
So I became the dictator Sulla.
Yes.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Friend of your show, yeah. Betty's in. So I became Sulla or Sulla. There's a lot of ways to say it.
Okay.
Lucius, Cornelius, however you want to say it.
So you knew all about history.
Shut some people down or being savage about her. But that's how that. And then we became sort of friends. And then Mary, being Mary, just was like, do you want to do a book launch with me? And so we did a book launch at the British. We've done two actually, where I would go on and do a little bit of stand up, and then Mary Beard would.
So did you do old jokes from Roman times?
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would go, this is what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I would do them. Still do them in my set.
Yeah.
And probably the best stuff I've got. So
are they different from modern day jokes, or do they?
They're pretty shit. Pretty shit. The wrong. Yeah. They had a lot of stuff to deal with. Yeah. Why would they be bothering with good comedy?
Rule of III.
They had rule of take a long time to get there.
Yes. Well, they had more time in those days.
Yeah.
It wasn't such a quote.
But that's how we became friends a little bit.
Yeah.
And used to hang out a lot. Her son, who's now like a director at the Met.
Yes.
That's something in New York, I think.
Yes. Big museum.
He babysat our kids. It was pretty good. And then there was a nice, funny article in the Independent where it was like unlikely. I don't know how I should feel about this, but like unlikely friendships. Mary Beard, accomplished. Lady.
Intelligent, clever.
Yeah. Redneck farm boy. I mean, what are the chances of them becoming friends? So we did that. So that's good.
All right. Well, that's a charming beginning to your Seven Wonders, Mary Beard. And I think everybody likes Mary Beard. So I think.
Did we win on that one? We've absolutely slammed that.
I think so.
One.
I think people are feeling warmer about you. Simply by knowing you're a fan of Mary Beard. And
I hope so.
Hers,
in my show I'm doing here at the Edinburgh Fringe. I get my 13-year-old son goes on and introduces me.
Yeah.
Because I think that is a nice way for people to go, well, I think I'll judge this guy as not being a total prick.
Yeah.
Because his son is awesome.
Yes.
And that buys you about 10 minutes.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Not bad. But he's a lot bigger than he used to be.
Yes.
He's a big 13. He used to be quite small.
Yeah.
And then the bucket at the end when you collect your money.
Yeah.
You used to absolutely nail that.
And so he perhaps looks like a big Canadian, but he'll be a Londoner by way of upbringing.
Yeah, he's a Londoner.
You've been living in this country, in UK, for a long time.
30-some years.
Yes.
30-some years.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've completely lost your Canadian accent.
Fuck, I know, right? Every time I go back to Canada, everyone's like, oh, who thinks he's the queen now? Jesus Christ, fucking fancy pants. Fuck, I bet you don't even wear gloves no more when you're working. I don't know. This is the worst.
Yeah.
I've been funnier than this before. But he...
No, you haven't. But Now, the bit of research I've been able to do on you is that...
You've met me before!
I know, but it's off...
We spent time together!
I know, but I'm talking about some research I did, which is that... it suggested you came to Europe, to United Kingdom, because of Monty Python and The Who, both of whom were, you know, past their prime, really,
the
time you came.
As I told you, I grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
Stuff trickled down to us pretty late.
Yes.
But when I was, and I'm going to get some water.
Yeah.
No, when I was about 15, I'd never heard of Monty Python. And there was a big party at the Landmarks. That was a farm over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Way,
and there
way
was
over
way
there.
Too many teenagers for my liking.
Yeah.
But there was one little, they had one little room for people who were finding it too stressful to go in. And they had put on this video and it was Monty Python. Never seen anything like it in my life. Yeah. And I watched it all the way through because I was terrified to go back out because everyone was drinking and fighting.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there yet. I mean, I can fight now.
Yeah.
But at that time, and I remember the first time I watched it, it was just in silence. I was just going, I can't believe this is a thing. Yeah. It was the Holy Grail.
Yes.
And then I said, watch it again. Yeah. And I watched it again. And then I laughed so hard that I actually wept.
Oh, right.
Because it had history. Like, I'd never seen comedy like it in my life.
Well, anyway, the Lumberjack song probably went down well with you because that's...
That wasn't in that, no.
It wasn't in that, no.
No, it was more the French...
oh, yes.
And it was all of it.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
And so anyway, I fell in love with that. And then The Who came right off the back. I went through a Rolling Stones phase.
Yeah.
And then The Who just absolutely blew my mind away. Yeah. And I thought, fucking hell, I'm going to do that, man. I'm going to land in my wrong accent. I think that's my son's accent.
Yeah, that's all right.
I hope.
Yeah.
I can't quite... You can you do the accents of the people you love the most? Like, I can't do my wife's, which is kind of, one of them.
So and you can my only son's do people like, you're making fun of.
My son's like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think the who were more like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm in art. I'm in art school. Yeah. And I'm going to do music and that. And we're going to change the world, yeah?
If this
fucking...
If this event here was set up for me to tell stories, I've only been in one film.
Oh, and it, you were in like a Who movie?
No, I was not. It was about George Best and Roger.
I can date George Best. I know George Best.
Yeah,
he's in my family.
Yes, that's not quite his voice, but no. To be honest, it's somebody else, but not George Best. Anyway, Roger Daltrey was in it. He was playing.
I'm glad you said Roger. Whoops.
He was playing Rodney Marsh, the footballer.
Who was? Roger Daltrey.
Roger Daltrey, yes, yeah. Anyway, but it's not time for my story, so we're...
No, do it.
We're practically at the end of the story, but it's...
No, do it.
No, there's nothing I can
do. Please, I want to know. I don't care about...
Offense. The film was about George Best, was recreating his life, and he did quite a few TV interviews. So I played the TV interviewer, a generalised interviewer, and he used some of his best lines. So the film started with me interviewing the actor playing George Best, and it ended with that, the end of that interview as well. And if you fell asleep in the middle, you thought it was all me and him. And I think there was quite a good possibility you did fall asleep in the middle, and it wasn't a huge success.
I'm glad you mentioned Roger Daltrey, because I've got a great Mary Beard Roger Daltrey story. So...
This is awesome.
This is like the only two famous people I know in my... Well, three. So I was quite chummy with Mary there for a while. And then I got to do the Teenage Cancer Trust gigs at the Royal Albert Hall. Biggest gig I've ever done. And it was all good. And we were backstage and all that. And I've loved The Who my whole life. And my wife disappeared and then came around the corner and her arm is just going... She came around the corner and she goes, look who it is. Look who it is. And it's Roger Daltrey. And I started to weep like a fucker. Yeah. And she goes, oh, that sound, Mike. He goes, don't worry about it. It's a lovely room.
Yeah.
It's not a room. It's a hall. Yeah. It's like thousands of people. Yeah. The most I'd done up to then was like 200 people. Anyway, Roger and me sort of became chummy because I was really good at the Teenage Cancer Trust.
Yeah.
They would bring me on sometimes just to introduce things because I'd take the piss with all the kids. They'd come on stage and I would do like really inappropriate jokes that the kids with cancer loved, but the audience hated. So I'd be like, oh, they seem all right to me. Stuff like that. Or like, oh, it's my favorite pirate. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
They loved it. And we planned all this before we went on stage. Anyway, we became friends. And then Roger Daltrey got in touch through his son-in-law, who became a friend of mine, and said, do you want to come to The Who at Wembley? And I went, yeah. Can I bring Mary Beard? That just popped into my head.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then, so Mary Beard, her son, who's absolutely gorgeous human being, so she, but they're all gorgeous, all four of them, yeah. Her family. So it's me, Mary Beard. My wife couldn't come, so it was me, Mary Beard, her son, my sister-in-law, Hero, which is Storm, my wife's sister, who's always loved The Who. And we went to see The Who, yeah. And we went through all the different bits where you get all the way to the back.
Yes.
And then you get through the final barrier, and it's just Roger in a room. All yeah. right, Sarah, how's it going? Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
But I was so yeah. nervous by then, I'd got absolutely hammered, and I knocked over a table.
Yeah.
And the only thing that saved me was Mary was just as pissed as me. And those two met together, and he's going, oh, yeah, I know you from all the history programs. I was going, I love you, Roger. Yeah. It was a magical time.
I don't know if this is the observational bit of your comedy or the surreal, made-up craziness. It doesn't matter.
This is the only yeah. thing that's ever yeah. happened to me. Yeah.
You must be about 3 foot taller than Roger Daltrey, because he's not a tall guy, is he? And you are pretty tall.
I didn't notice that, because to me, he's a fucking mountain.
Yes, okay. Look, we've got to
look up to that.
We've got to move on to your next wonder, because that's supposed to have taken 5 minutes, and we're now about to end. So your second wonder is the NFL, which is football, but not as we know it.
No, it's football is how it should be known.
Yeah.
The greatest sport in all of humanity.
Really?
American football.
Yeah.
It is a combat sport. UFC, yeah. Bit too much. NFL's got it all. Concussion, brain damage.
Yeah.
It's a way for working class people in North America to escape and die of brain damage.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's beautiful. It's got like quick little ones.
Yes.
Big ones. Yeah. Smart ones.
Yeah.
It's a bit like chess. It's got it all.
Okay.
And it brings all the peoples of North America together. And it's.
So did you play that when in Canada? Is there a slightly different form of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Canada,
yeah. The Canadian football. Yeah. See,
how different is that? It's just nicer, I suppose. Excuse me, I won't bump into you. If you want to pass the ball, that's up to you. That's
this chair.
Yeah.
But no, it's it is kind of nicer. They have a bigger field. It's a bit like the difference between rugby league and rugby union.
Yeah.
It's a bigger field. You have American football, you have 4 downs to make 10 yards. I don't want to get into that, but it's 3 downs and wider, bigger field.
Yeah.
And also you have to have 60% of the people that play in the professional league have to be Canadian, so it makes it shit.
But why?
But when I discovered American football, we were on our way to Trinidad to visit our Trinidadian relatives, and we stopped at the Calgary airport, and I found an almanac of all the statistics from the 1977 season. And we were 5 hours early for our flight.
Yeah.
So I memorized all the statistics from the 1977 NFL season.
All right.
And that was me. Mm. By the way, the leading rusher was Walter Payton for the Chicago Bears.
Oh.
1,854 yards. Fuck, I've got that wrong. Don't Google it.
Yeah. That's a lot of rushing. That's like a marathon.
Well, that's
rush,
carrying the ball, smashing it through. Yeah. Terrible game back then compared to now. It's a lot more passing. It's beautiful. Also, it just brings just working class people from all over North America come together and go, let's go.
Well, I don't want to make this an argument, but there are different forms of football have been invented at various times.
Oh, you mean soccer ball?
Well, soccer ball is
tippity tappity tippity dancing.
Well, it came into its sort of current form end of the 19th century, and it spread around virtually the entire world.
Not
from imperial reasons.
Well, people were backwards then, and they didn't have anything else
American
going on.
American football is played extensively in America. And American sports, for some reason, even baseball isn't that current around American football. It tends to be confined to that continent.
That's fine up until now, but going forward, you're going to watch all of those sports dissipate.
Yeah, you think?
It's a simple game and it's easy to follow like soccer.
Okay.
Because it's like, anyone can pick it up.
I'll tell you something. If there's a competition...
I feel like I've really lost the crowd.
Well, if there's a competition with these wonders, I generally select the wonder of wonders in. Mary Beard's ahead of NFL at the moment. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, but so there's going to be people in the States right now. Yeah. Not now, but when it's out, listening to it going, way to go, brah.
Yeah. Okay, so you're building your North American audience up. That's good.
Through you.
Yeah, through me.
That's my plan.
I'd like to be helped.
Let's Clive Anderson is my way to get to the NFL audience.
Oh, I'm big in America. Now, the third wonder then, we're going to do. Shall I tell you what it is, or can you remember what you
have no idea.
Okay. You just made these up, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Which is the correct way to do it.
The first two things I could think of was Mary Beth. I forgot the Who.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea.
Well, but
done, Britain.
Yeah, thank you.
For the Who and Mary Beard.
Yeah.
But the NFL is the best
football
sport.
We got wrong, apparently. Yeah. The tippy-tappy.
You got your historians and your rock stars.
Yes. Okay.
You nailed that.
All right. Number three is the Rest is History podcast.
Oh, yes.
So you're clearly getting more and more interested in history as you...
No, always have done. And in fact, I've sort of I haven't been following history enough lately because I've... Well, as a Gen X person, not brought up on the internet like the young people who know how to handle it.
You're indicating the audience is full of young people. I can tell. I can tell how young everybody is.
You know how like we were brought up where we had to have a nice bit of everything... You know, a BBC, a bit of ITV, bit of this, bit of that. So you had a broad spectrum of stuff. And then the internet comes along and we're suddenly told, you mean we can watch and listen to only the things we like?
Yes.
I'm in. Yeah. So now I only watch NFL podcasts or listen to. So I have no idea about history. So I'm trying to get back into it.
So
that went better at my gig earlier today.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be told that, but the Rest is History podcast. Now, this is a particular one, and it features Tom Holland and Dominic Sandbrook.
Yeah, so. Poor Tom Holland. Mm. Probably one of the greatest historians of all time. I love him. Funny as anything, but, you know, Mary Beard also does the same thing as him.
Yeah.
So he's always going to be second.
All right.
But him and Dominic Sandbrook together, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And they do things like two geniuses of history come together and they have some of their podcasts are like, World Cup of gods.
Yes.
And then they do like podcasts where you break down who becomes the greatest god.
Or could be World Series, I suppose, to make
World Series.
More American.
Yeah, you're still on that.
Yeah, no, I'm getting just a little dig as we go along.
Yeah,
there.
You didn't like that soccer talk, did you? I fancied you as a rugby man.
Well, you can fancy me all you like. I hated it. I had to play rugby at school because... It was a grammar school, but they were quite, you know, pretentious about this. So we played rugby, and everybody around my way, we only wanted to do football. So I had to be what we call a wing three-quarter playing rugby, which in those days was a small kid on the end of the line. And the ball eventually came down to you, ran like stink. You either scored a try, which I did once in a while, or you got flattened into the mud, which happened most of the time.
Is that what happened to you?
By a bigger boy. And all the skills that I imagined I had from football were useless because you'd say, oh, I'm going to... Dash
you mean something. Soccer?
Soccer, yeah. If you remember where you are, this is football. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Tom Holland, Dominic Sandbrook.
Does anybody know the Rest is History podcast?
Yeah, the four people. It's doing well.
Fuck.
It's,
I thought, this is what happens when you live in your own bubble.
Yeah.
I thought everyone watched it and listened to it.
Can I recommend another podcast in the history? Because the recent guest on this podcast was Angela Barnes, and she does a podcast with John O'Farrell called We Are History, and they take a sort of an interesting factual base, but amusing look at history as well. So if you want to expand your podcast, I'm just supporting a previous podcaster with me. I'll be supporting all
Have
your
you noticed pages. How far down your mic has dropped?
Yes.
Like it was right up by your mouth and it's just slowly gone down there.
I've had nights like that before, but I go...
I set him up.
I'm going to be sliding down. I'll be doing a limbo dance. I want to have lapel mics.
You know, that NFL bit, I should have saved that for the end because, fuck. I have lost
a lot of
momentum. Yeah. I was really smashing this.
Yeah. It's an educational podcast. A lot of people haven't heard of NFL. And they're like,
it's not that educational. Yeah. I mean, you guys don't know about the Rest is History podcast.
Yeah.
I keep mentioning them in case they bring me on.
So are there particular periods in history you find fascinating or the whole thing?
All of them.
Roman times, you must be at least
all of them. Love all the history.
All the history. Yes. Okay.
Just all of it. It's all good.
Yeah. That's good. It's not the.
I like all of it.
It's not the most interesting answer that anyone's ever given.
I'm running out of steam. I've peaked.
But are you like interested in the Second World War or the Norman Conquest?
Well, I was interested in the Second World War a lot when I was like a teenager.
Yes.
Which is when you should like the Second World War.
Yeah.
But some people never.
I was a teenager in the Second World War. No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. Don't even look as though you believe me. Yeah. What I'm saying.
No.
Oh, really? Yeah, of course. I suppose you were. Well, no, I wasn't.
When I look at you, I can all I can hear is Pink Floyd.
Yes. Why?
Well, because all their songs were like being children during the Second World War.
Oh, they're not.
Come
even,
on, fuckers!
They're not even old enough to be in the Second
they
World War.
They were. Of course they are. Yeah. What are you? Don't lie to yourself.
Well, I don't think so. But anyway.
Now, re-listen to all of Pink Floyd. Mm. It's all about all of Pink Floyd's like growing up in the Second World War. And their way was like, oh, it's so sad. Oh, my God, Dad was really seriously mentally ill. So yeah. That's Pink Floyd.
Yes.
And then the Who's way of doing it was, come on, you cunts.
Yeah.
And the Rolling Stones is going, oh, I can't do anything.
Yeah. Can I?
And then, wait, I'm not done.
Oh, you leave those pauses.
And then Black Sabbath's way of dealing with the Second World War was steel industry.
We've had a
I have had
a member of Pink Floyd on this podcast, Nick Mason.
And you never knew that they struggled as children during World War II?
He's not old enough for that. He's
Nick Mason. Yeah. How's his cars?
Oh, he's got a lot of cars.
Yeah, he's got a lot of cars. Yeah. Oh, I love a car.
He doesn't speak like that. They were all.
No, he doesn't.
They were all at posh schools.
Yeah, I know. He'd be like, oh, God, I seriously love a car. Oh, my God. The cars are so fantastic.
You got
do you know what kind of car I would like?
That's a big American.
Tesla. Make them cheaper.
Yes. Well, they will
be cheaper. We'd all love Teslas. Instead, all of us snowflake libtards are all driving old bangers we can keep together. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
I can't see you. The lights are bright. But
yeah.
Brother.
Yeah. Let's go on to your next wonder, which is Albertan grain farmers.
Yeah.
So this is...
Those are my people. That's where I come from.
Well, this is a good time to be boosting grain farmers.
Well, listen.
We're short of grain, aren't we?
So Europeans, at some point earlier in the previous century, just started emptying all of their slums of, like, just get rid of them, get them out there.
Yeah.
And then there was places like Canada. They're like, well, let's populate this area with a bunch of people dressed in rags and get them to try and farm.
Yes.
And that's what they do. Yeah. German, like Scottish, where I'm from. Lots of Scottish, Northern Irish, Dutch, Ukrainians, shitloads. Chuck them out there, and they were all the first generation, absolutely terrible at farming.
And they starved, many of them.
Well, I'm talking about in Canada. Tough times.
Yeah.
But then the next generation, my dad's generation, they were all like, oh, I'm figuring that out. And they worked and graft, figured it out, and it was still so. On our farm, when we were tiny, there would be like a lot of pigs, cattle, grain, all these sort of different things put together. And then at some point, the Soviet Union stopped producing a lot of grain and the grain prices went up. And then suddenly all these people, second generation, you know, poor folks were able to make money from grain farming. And so it exploded from there. So Alberta grain farmers, we all descend from people who are 5'7" and malnourished, and he used to look like this in photos. And that's who we descend. Yeah. We just became these huge, giant people.
Well, in Scotland.
Thanks to the Soviet Union being such an utter failure.
Yes.
Shout out. And so. Yeah. So our generation, we were able to enjoy things like having caravans, which ties in nicely.
Yes, with the previous thing.
When I was a child, we could go to Banff.
Yes.
And stay in a caravan or a tent.
Yeah.
But the new generation below me, they can have jet skis.
Yeah.
So that's the direct line.
Mm.
Jet skis. Yeah.
Yes.
To clearing the slums of Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, what a bat. Like, you know, a lot of the slums got cleared out to Essex. I would argue we got a better deal out of it. Well, I think because our NFL players,
yes,
are bigger.
What happened in Scotland in the Highlands? The population was cleared out of the Highlands to be replaced by sheep, and then they went over to Canada and America
exactly.
and cleared out the existing population there as well. So it was
exactly. Yeah. And if you want to watch, if you ever watch the NHL, the National Hockey League,
yes,
and you look at the surnames out there,
yeah.
probably 70% of them will have Scottish surnames yeah. or Ukrainian. Yeah. McLeod, yes. like the best player in the world, Connor McDavid.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, obviously. So anyway.
Yeah. yeah.
So that's why I like Alberta grain farmers. Yeah. I mean, we fell into it.
What you had to decide, presumably, at some point, would you continue or go on to be an Albertan grain farmer, or will I be a comedian, enjoying myself?
Well, I fucked up, and I'll tell you why. My mum was from Trinidad and Tobago, so
right.
she was depressed the whole time I knew her
yeah.
because she left Trinidad
yes.
and went to Canada
yeah.
to live on a farm
why
in the winter. I mean, that's horrible. She's
why
from
she
Trinidad
to
and Tobago.
Why did she
put that in your head?
I've got it. I've got the point you're making here.
Trinidad yeah. and Tobago.
Yeah.
Eh, eh. and some handsome... man from Northern Ireland, come along, take me away. Take me away to a frozen tundra. I didn't even know what tundra meant. And I had to look it up on Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
No child.
Yeah.
So can you imagine how fucking depressed she was?
Yeah.
So I forget the question, but I was just, I remembered my mom.
It doesn't matter, we're forgetting the answer.
I don't know why I did that. I don't believe in.
No, very, very good. So they're doing, and they continue to do well, presumably at the moment.
Well, my brother does okay, but there was no way I was going to be able to do it. No, so
no. Why,
I was badly advised by my mom, who just went, you can do whatever you want.
Mm.
She was wrong. My dad was right. You stay here. Yeah. You work hard, you learn, and you yeah. can be a part of this
yes.
in 30 years. I went, no way, man. I yeah. want to be big right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a comic.
Yeah.
So mum was wrong.
Okay.
She died, so.
Yeah.
But
would you ever consider going back to live full-time in Alberta and maybe get a ranch?
Oh, yeah,
or
but there's no job there for me now.
No. Well, you could entertain the workers when they're Dude, what are they doing with grain?
They've got their own.
Yeah.
No, it's better to scratch a living here.
Yeah.
I made my bed.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Fifth wonder.
Jesus Christ, I yeah. thought you were going to say your fifth wife.
Yeah.
I've only got one wife.
Well, but your fifth wonder is your wife, which is a touching
wonder.
You're the first person, the first person out of the 30-something that I've been doing who has selected their wife.
No, but you're not. No, change that because...
What's happened?
No, because
did
I
she,
thought...
Did she not like that?
I assumed that everybody would choose their partner.
Yeah. No, most people chose
and
your wife.
And then I thought, it feels like... but then I thought, no, it seems like you're actually trying to hide something.
Well, my wife. What?
It's like, if you choose your wife, it's like, oh, you're covering up for something.
Tell us your wife's name.
No, not going to do it. No one else has done wife.
Storm Davison is her name.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I didn't even write that down.
I know. I dive deep in my research.
You've known me a little bit.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah.
What kind of a woman is that? Am I right? Enough said.
No, okay. Go on.
Get fucking murdered for this.
Tell us what is great about your wife.
No. Not going to do it.
This is one of the worst...
It's self-evident.
This is one of the worst...
I am standing up and alive.
Yeah.
I'm an alive human. Boom. Yeah. Done. I didn't put that in there, by the way. This is bullshit. I mentioned it in the dressing room.
No, you said...
No, it's not written down.
It is. You said your
what?
Wife.
It's, no, you, show me it.
There.
No.
Yeah.
Not there.
Yes, yeah.
It's not in there.
Tony, wait a minute. This reminds me. I did an interview once with Bobby Womack. I don't know if you know who he is, but he wrote, apart from anything else, he wrote It's All Over Now, which was made famous by this Rolling Stones. And he didn't like it very much but until the checks started coming in for these royalties. Anyway, Bobby Womack, he wrote it with his sister-in-law called Shirley... Shirley Womack.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, he wrote his autobiography. His autobiography came onto Loose Ends, a program I do on Radio 4, and he had a very interesting early part of his life to do with Sam Cooke and Sam Cooke's widow, and then he was attacked. And great stories. And I said, well, then this happened. Somebody tried to shoot. No, that didn't happen. So it's in your book. I'm reading it from your book. Oh, I've sacked 3 ghostwriters. And he basically denied. I mean, he was... getting towards the end of his life, but he was denying the things he'd put in his own. And here's you.
So you wait. You're trying to make
me feel bad.
No, yes, I didn't talk to you yesterday.
No, you.
I sent an email
to me
to my PR
with
who I said, "Am I allowed to talk about my wife?" Yeah. And then it's not on that list.
It says my wife, or if not allowed, all Roman ruins. All.
Oh yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah. And I don't mind.
Wow, that was a real battle.
If you want to put Roman ruins on, that's interesting. But your wife is more interesting.
Just keep bullying me with your status. No, I was hoping for an answer for that back.
Yeah.
I don't know because like.
What do you want to tell your wife?
What is wrong with all the other 30 people you've had on this show who've never even spoken about their spouse? What kind of people are they?
They're all British, that's why. But
were you agreeing with me? Thank you.
Thank you. Well done. Yeah, you.
Go on. No, I don't mind
in the course of this you saying I'm not putting my wife as a wonder, I'm changing it to Roman ruins. But if your wife hears it on the podcast or if, you know,
she's
going to,
like, no matter how this comes out,
yes,
she's going to fucking hate it.
Yeah.
She's
what's so wonderful about your wife? Go on, let's make it a touching moment.
Do you know what? No, I don't want to make it a touching moment.
Okay, all right.
Do you know why?
No.
There's too much to even say.
That's a touching moment.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah. Did she rescue you from going off the rails? Did she?
About 8 times, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, yep, right. Kept me going.
Okay.
And then great children. So, like, yes. You know, but I mean, a lot of that was me. I mean, I'm pretty fun.
Yeah.
I'm fun around the house.
How many children have you got? What?
Jesus, I feel like boundaries are being crossed.
Yeah, okay.
Is this what people do? Like, this is my first celebrity interview.
This is not a very big boundary. If I was talking to Boris Johnson and asked him how many children he had, that would be a difficult one.
He wouldn't even know.
He doesn't know, won't say. But I'm assuming you've got a rough idea. You have a sort of head count at some point.
I know exactly how many.
But it's not a number you want to actually say out loud. Two.
Two.
Okay, all right. I feel like...
You never know.
Yeah.
This is clearly joking. I'm fucking joking.
Yeah. This is an uncomfortable bit of interview. I don't...
How many kids do you have?
I have 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're very brave. You just came straight out with it.
Yeah.
I guess they're out there on...
Oh, they are indeed.
Okay. Let me just do that again. Ask it again.
No. We're moving on now.
Ask it again.
Which? Who? Your
how
wonder?
Many kids?
How many kids have you got?
Oh, just 2.
Oh.
They're twins.
Twins?
Twins, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. That was...
Born in the same body?
Yes.
Different houses within the body.
Okay.
And then people say, are your kids, are they identical, your twins?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, you're looking at them. So no.
Yeah.
Different houses.
Yeah.
One's about that big, one's about that big.
Okay.
One's got a penis, the other one, I don't even like saying any of these words. You gave me a chance to back out of it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, but...
That's such a fine line, but... Yeah.
Who would have thought that a person coming to say his wife is the wonder of the world, that's the most uncomfortable bit of the interview?
This is a nightmare.
Should we get back onto Mary Beard? Would that be...
No. Move on.
What's the middle one? The middle one what?
How many have we done?
We've done five, assuming we have done your wife.
Well, if on I the... Jesus Christ! How fucking dare you? I will fight you at dawn. I will destroy you. Clive Anderson and me. What a nightmare this has become. I didn't want to have to make these decisions.
Let's go on to wonder number six then.
Mm.
And that is dogs. And the way it came to me from you, before you start denying it, all dogs, full stop, even the ones that kill people.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was me and Atticus, my son, were in the caravan last night. And I went, oh, they want me to go on the Clive Anderson thing. So I did five, and then I went, what's the next one? He goes, well, you like dogs.
Yeah.
So I went, yeah. What kind of dogs? Old dogs.
Yes.
So, I've really thrown my son under the bus on this.
Yeah. Your son, no, Atticus, I like old, you say. He's called Atticus, your son.
Yeah.
Yes. That's an interesting name. It's a good name. It tells us something about your interests.
Well, it's a tough one for Canadians to say, like my dad from Canada.
Yeah? Well, how does he pronounce it?
Well, he can only say Atticus.
Yeah. That's not too bad.
A lot of Canadians are like, oh, hey, Atticus. Yeah. You're looking good out there on the field, Atticus.
Yeah. But that's
it's
all right.
Atticus.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to be able to say his name out loud.
Here's a friendlier question to ask you. Why are all Canadians such nice people? What makes Canadians
Well,
nice?
Because they were people who descend from people cleared out of slums in Europe.
Yeah.
And were given a chance to have a good life.
Yeah, but
and so they're all like, holy fuck, do I appreciate what I've got. I'm going to be a good guy because they got a good chance, eh?
Yeah.
How's it going? Come on in.
Yeah.
Even the truckers were nice guys.
Yeah.
Hey, geez, we just, you know, it's a lot of, you know, trying to drive the truck down there, eh?
Yeah.
You know, that fucking Trudeau's giving us a lot of, like fuck that guy. Elitist Trudeau.
Yes. How many Trudeaus are you going to have in your constitutional history?
Probably his son.
Yes.
Who will be some sort of primary school teacher.
How's he doing, this latest Trudeau? He's sometimes in the papers papers over here, not looking so great.
Well, there is the issue in Canada where the tar sands in northern Alberta, where you can pull oil out of the ground, it's quite expensive.
Yeah.
Or you could shut that down to make everyone go, God, you really love the environment, and then buy all of your oil from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Yes.
Which he's done.
Yeah.
And I don't know, a lot of people don't like that over there. I don't get into politics.
I think you were subtly
But I feel like they maybe got that wrong.
Yeah. You're subtly expressing a view there, but that's...
Yes, trying to whisper it.
Okay. The microphone's going to pick it up however you...
Do you think so?
It. Yeah, yeah. Oh, just...
I don't think that's I don't think that's morally the correct thing to do.
Yeah, okay.
It's like Saudi oil. You might as well kill a few birds.
Okay.
And some probably no bears because we could put them.
Yes.
Anyway.
Sorry. Okay. So, but that's dog. Let's keep on to dogs, which might
dogs,
be...
Dogs, love dogs.
Do you have a dog or lots of dogs?
Boy, do we have a dog. One of the reasons why this has been a difficult festival so far is he does not want to leave us.
Yes.
So we can't just leave him at the trailer. He has to come with us everywhere we go.
He's on stage with you, is he? Or does he wait in the wings?
No, he waits in the wings.
Yeah.
which is
separation.
And the reason is he's looking for the other two in our pack.
Right.
His pack is me, mummy, two kids. So he's looking for the two that aren't here, and they're going to be here soon.
Yeah.
But they're not here now. So, like, going to the beach for us is an absolute nightmare because none of the kids can go into the water on their own without him going down and herding them back.
Yes.
I mean, he's a shepherd.
Yeah.
It's in the name.
What's a German shepherd?
You put anything in front of shepherd.
Yes.
It's the shepherd part, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'm just getting an idea what the dog looks like. He's a German shepherd.
New Zealand shepherd. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here's something.
Corky shepherd.
Here's something that'll interest you. We can bond over this. I've often had dogs, but a short time I had a Newfoundland dog.
Oh.
And going into the sea or a loch with the Newfoundland was a nightmare because very much so she would come in and want to rescue you from drowning.
Yeah.
And she'd come, she would. But paddling away like crazy with all the claws. Yeah. So you came out not drowned, but ripped to shreds every time. And she, oh, God, this is what I was born to do. And these stupid people are clearly not born to be in
And our German Shepherd, which is sweet about him, he's all black with a little white tuft. He's wearing a little, like a tuxedo.
Yeah.
But he, you know, a lot of German Shepherds have that black and tan look with a sloped back. He doesn't. He's got a big straight back.
Oh, great.
And we're like, oh, we got one of those good, healthy German Shepherds. Yeah. And then it kind of dawned on us when we looked at his webbed feet that he's definitely got some newfie in him. He's got a newfie face. And he can swim really good and he loves water and he's... So all of his
good. I think that's good because I think German Shepherds do have a lot of health problems.
Yeah, that slopey back's not good. He's got a big, fat, straight back, but mentally obsessed with herding us family together.
He's definitely a new
And really keen on, like, mobile phone FaceTimes and stuff. He's like, who? Like, most of the FaceTimes I do, there's Batman behind me. Yeah. Huh? Huh? I think that's Mummy. I better go and herd her through the phone.
But all dogs. So it's not just your dog. You love all dogs.
I kind of do love all dogs. How can you hate a dog who rips a child apart?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a funny way through that. Yeah. No, I don't like all dogs, but it's not their fault. It is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's all about us. It's humans. We're the problem, guys.
Yeah.
You know, Sicily. Yeah.
So, you know, if the dogs are pooping.
I don't know why I wrote all dogs.
That's all right. It's
because we had no hot water.
Yeah.
We couldn't even cook.
No.
I mean, how many times could you eat at Tony Macaroni's? Very good pizza, by the way, if any of you are
I'm sure if you eat 10 times, you stamp the card and you'll get a free one.
We're running out of money. We needed to cook.
Where's your show on? So we must make sure. Come back. Where's your show on so people can...
It's at the Monkey Barrel.
Yeah.
Love monkeys too, by the way.
You do, yeah. Even the monkeys that rip children to shreds.
No.
No.
It's different with monkeys.
You draw the line with monkeys.
No, because
dogs is a free
range. No, monkeys know better.
Yes.
They should.
Yeah. Well, you
No,
think.
So I'm at the Monkey Barrel, greatest venue in the history of the world. It used to be the Stand. Not anymore. It's Monkey Barrel. Yep, we're there every day at noon.
Yes. Good time.
People, I've always done noon.
Students have just woken up. And,
I just wanted to be unique.
Yes.
And I did noon over at the Stand for ages just to avoid nighttime people. I don't like nighttime people.
Yeah. So what do you do at night? Like, you go home and not have a bath or a shower because you've got no hot water.
Jesus Christ, so you're going to rub that in my face?
Yeah.
I'm living in a caravan. I can't help it. And you're going to make fun of it.
Yeah, I know.
You're a liberal guy. Why are you doing that?
I know, because I'm living in an apartment in the castle.
With a shower?
Yeah, the shower.
Wherever you are,
you've got a pipe band playing.
Are you comparing your life to mine?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Tonight
you'll have a nice shower.
I'm going to a surreal
Does
fantasy
all the
now.
Water wash down through there?
Hopefully, yes. Yeah. We can only hope.
Yeah, and then you'll cook something up on a cooker.
Yeah.
Well, just know somewhere out there.
Yeah. I know.
Is us learning how to wrestle better.
I once spent a week with my family, three children, when they were young.
That's it?
My wife.
Jesus Christ. What kind of a father are you? I spend every week with my children.
Well, if I may finish my sentence before you take it out of context.
I pulled some of your techniques for
I know, I know. So a whole week, and we had no water at all, other than going to a burn and getting a bucket. And so all things you might want to use water for, not hot water, cold water, you had to do getting a bucket. Of course, this is normal existence for people 150 years ago, but we're softened by the fact that we just expect to turn a tap on, flush the lavatory, it all just worked, and cook was... But that was it was a good insight, but I just don't want to do it again.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, but you're doing it now, in the middle of the greatest arts festival in the world. So
do you call this an arse festival?
Yeah.
I'd agree. I mean, a lot of it is an arse festival.
Boy. This is no good at all.
We've had fun, haven't
we? I'm making fun of... You're making fun of my... I've been made fun of by a Canadian. This is just not
fair. Xenophobe!
The kindest people in the world with the interesting accent. So...
No, we're a lot of rednecks. There's some horrible ones of us.
No. A lot of American comedians turn out to be Canadian, after all. I wish I had a list in my mind.
Dan Aykroyd?
There's one.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, yeah.
They pretend they're American.
So is there a lot of comedy in Canada, not just you?
No, they all have to leave because it's all like Canadian comedy's all like controlled by central systems.
Yes.
So they all have to go somewhere where it's a bit freer.
Yeah.
Sound a bit.
I used to do a show which Colin Mochrie was a Canadian. Colin Mochrie is an improviser, but he's brilliant. Everybody loved him in the.
Mochrie. No, I think that's a Scottish name.
Yes. He was born in Scotland.
Mochrie area.
Yeah, he was from Kilmarnock originally.
Am I right in thinking that a law is a small conical type of hill? Fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. You're a small hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Or hillock.
Never thought of it that way.
Or hillock.
That's where hillock comes from.
We're running out of time. I've got my eye on the clock, although I didn't notice when we started, so it's kind of pointless. But
we've been on here for a while.
Yeah, we're going to come to that now because you've got one more to do. And don't start doing your mobile phone in that young person's way.
Oh, no, I'm not like, you're... well, that's nice, thanks. Do you think that I would know what to do with a phone then?
Secretariat is your... So who or what is Secretariat?
Well, Secretariat was the greatest racehorse in the history of all racing horses.
Mm.
He was a big... So in 1973, he won the Triple Crown.
And he beat Scotland, England, and Wales on his own. Yeah.
So when I was little, I remember growing up, and my mom always talking about this horse. And I was too small to know anything, but I just remember Secretariat. Oh my God, Secretariat, this horse! And I just remember my mom in love with this horse. And it's only in hindsight I think, well, she must have been a bit depressed.
Yes.
Because she's focusing on this horse. Maybe I've done some of that earlier. But she loved this horse. And Secretariat was owned by this woman in Kentucky. Not a big rich owner. All the other horses are owned by big owners. Mm. And then went on to win the Triple Crown. And then each one broke the records. And then the final... So the Kentucky Derby won that one. Then the Belmont. And then in the Preakness broke a track record. Or no, opposite. Not Preakness. Belmont.
Mm.
Broke a record that still stands to this day.
Right.
And no horses come anywhere near it. So I love Secretariat.
Yeah. It's a fine horse, but do you follow horse racing generally, or is it just that
Not
one
really.
Horse?
I had a moment when my wife's stepdad was alive and he was into horse, and that's what we got into together. That's how we bonded.
Yes.
Not really, but I do. I mean, if it was back then in 1973, probably, because there was no internet and fuck all else to do.
Yeah.
So I could see why my mum would love it.
Yeah.
And if you watch those races, it's pretty compelling. Yeah. So that's why I like.
So he won all those races, and was he a stallion? So did he then set about leaving progeny behind him to carry on?
He did. He didn't really leave that much prodigy behind him.
Yeah.
He just, it's me. It peaks here.
Yeah.
It's me. And then after that, all his kids is like, sort yourself out, can't. That's Roger Daltrey.
Yeah, you're getting there.
He's got a lot of kids. Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
But I love Secretariat. Yeah. And I love watching those three races together online every night.
All right. Well, if you've got no hot water, no way of cooking or washing, I suppose it's something to do, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I'm doing this rocking movement.
Yes. So we could go and do this, because I'm speaking on behalf of the audience, I hope correctly, is that not many people would have heard of Secretariat in this country. Have you ever heard of Secretariat? Yes, there's one yes and a lot,
no,
lot of no's.
No, there's a lot of yeses over there.
And other people
Secretariat?
Yeah. Okay,
and
look.
If you listen to the voice of saying Secretariat, now you know.
Tony, thank you very much for coming and doing
my... Oh, wow, you just dropped that in there.
Well, I'm just...
You got me talking about sex. You're good. You found a way to shut me up.
No, not that I've noticed. But Tony Law, thank you for sharing your seven wonders with me. I have to choose your wonder of wonders from your list of seven. I normally do it on the one which struck me as particularly wonderful, as you described it on the podcast. But I'm ignoring those rules for this one. And I'm going to say the wonder of wonders is your wife, Storm Davidson. Thank you very much. And Tony Law, a round of applause. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tony. If you enjoyed listening to My Seven Wonders, it would be wonderful if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform, site or provider you found us on. Thank you very much.
Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson is a Stack production in association with Alaska TV and powered by the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.